Everybody's doing the fish. Tell you what a series sweep over the New York Yankees.
It's crazy.
August 4th, and we're talking Marlins. Like, the reason I thought we'd be talking Marlins on August 4th was I thought they'd be flirting with an MLB record for worst record ever in a regular season. I thought for sure this was a 100-loss team, and they would be the poster child for poor management and poor ownership and not caring, and it's quite the opposite. And I obviously, I owe them an apology, but quite the opposite. They are fun as hell. Now, listen, do I think this is going to remain for the next 50-plus games? Because how many, what are they, 55 and 55, so that's what, 110 games, so there's 52 games left.
Yeah.
So do I think this can maintain for the next 50-plus games? I don't know. But you know what? To be 500 on August 4th and to be third in the NL East, forget about wild card. They're 7.5 games back of Philly for the division lead.
Yes.
And, you know, we were doing the show and the trade deadline came and went last week. I was on Thursday. They traded Jesus Sanchez, but that was it. Didn't trade Sandy. Like, they didn't just get rid of people for the sake of getting rid of people. I'm sure that they were fielding offers. They found that there was nothing to their liking. So Cabrera and Sandy, I mean, they're still on the roster. They're pitching well. It's fun. If nothing else, it's fun. The only thing they're missing, obviously, is Matt Mervis. You certainly could use him when you need a power hitter. The guy's tearing it up in Jacksonville. But I can't even stand on that anymore. That was going to be my go-to all season long as things went south. And they seem to have gotten much, much better after Mervis was DFA'd. So I probably have to get a little quieter on that one. But I won't. I should, but I won't.
You won't. First off, Hawk, your math was impeccable right there.
That 55, was weird,
55,
right?
110, 52 left.
That was weird. That was
like Rain Man type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was waiting for you to mess up, and you got it right. No, it's bro, Gus Buss. He's in the Rookie of the Year conversation. Stowers, everybody knows him now. Like, yeah, it's you know. And you said, why are we? You said kissing Bendix's butt almost. Seems like he knows what he's doing. That's what it. To your point, Hawk. I don't think they're winning the. I don't think they're going to the championship this year. But we expected a historic loss record.
Yep.
And they're 500 and they're in the playoffs right now. That's what the surprising thing is.
Yeah. It's just been fun. And then to sweep the Yankees in front of full houses, even if a lot of them are Yankees fans, like just completely fun. Kyle Stowers, by the way, was named today the National League Player of the Month. That guy is raking. He is just incredible.
And he's a
there's
looker
a ton of
too.
Stuff going on.
He's a What's looker him? Now. Yeah. As I watch him
he's
more,
he's got that blonde got head something. Of hair, man.
he does. Like, it's a perfect Miami dude. Like, oh, they got an all-star down there. Oh, okay. He has blonde hair flowing down his back.
Central casting. Yeah. Central casting. That guy could pull up on the beach. Like, just like, so much going on. First week of August, it's only going to get crazier and busier, but you've got the Dolphins. They've got preseason game number one this Sunday in Chicago. So that we have to look forward to. And the Hurricanes, you know, we kind of counted it down last month, but they play at the end of this month, Hard Rock Stadium, Canes and Notre Dame. And tell you what, the Marlins doing what they're doing. I mean, things are fun. Let me give you a quick training camp report. Training camp reports on WQAM are sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Tech Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs, day or evening, hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com and launch your future today. Zach Seeler gets his contract extension.
Ooh.
And Dolphins fans are thrilled. I think it was $67 million, $44 million guaranteed. Dude is Goodness. he's a story. Like he's the he's the success story of someone who wasn't expected to be there. Dolphins, by the way, will hold a joint practice with the Bears in Chicago on Friday. Are you interested in the line for Dolphins preseason game number one?
I would say Dolphins are dogs because the starters of Chicago are going to have to play longer than the Bears. I mean, the Bears are going to play longer than the Dolphins because
Ben
Johnson.
Do you think any starters will play? Like, do you think any Dolphins starters will play? I was thinking about this. Chris Perkins is going to join us today. I'm going to ask him. Will Manso is going to join us today. He was at the Marlins sweep yesterday at Lone Depot Park. Do you think anyone on the Dolphins of consequence is going to play on Sunday?
The corners have to because they're not of consequence, to be honest. They're nobody.
Right. They actually are of consequence, unfortunately. Yeah.
But I was watching ESPN today where like this Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams situation has to come to a head where now they have to see if this is going to vibe like he vibed with Sam Darnold in Minnesota. So the Lions. That's what it was. It was Jared Goff and the Lions. And they were talking about that where I think the Bears are going to play their starters. I don't want Tua to play. To answer your question, do I think he will? Yes. Do I want him to touch the field? No. I know what Tua is.
He said that he wants some snaps in the preseason. I just wonder when it would come.
Why? You go out there and get hit? You just want to get hit? Why would Tua play in the first preseason game? It's a waste of time.
Have you seen any of the videos over the weekend of Caleb Williams, by the way?
Yeah, he was slanging that little biscuit now.
No, he was awful.
No, I saw some good. They showed some good stuff on ESPN today.
Caleb Williams, well, maybe he picked it up because there was a highlight reel that was going around. I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday that, you know, it was like a little target thing that he was supposed to throw. He missed every pass. I'd send it to you. I'll send it to you because.
Send it to me.
I don't know. I don't know if they need to play him. I'm watching Training Camp Live right now on NFL Network.
They better play him.
They're in Atlanta. I guess Penix will be the quarterback in Atlanta, yeah?
Yeah, Penix is playing. We just did Bijan Robinson. And we were down there with Raheem Morris. Yeah, yeah. I think Bijan is the offense. Penix is going to figure
it out.
I was in
Atlanta. I got back from Atlanta yesterday. I was in Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I never made it to Magic City. I never made it to the varsity either.
You didn't go to Magic?
I did not.
Oh, we talked about this, man. How could you leave Atlanta without going to Magic City?
I know, but I impressed my Uber Black drivers by just, you know, casually mentioning Magic City.
Uber Black or Black Uber drivers?
Well, happened to be both.
You're going to hit Magic? I'm down.
Anyway, so the Bears are 1.5 point favorites on Sunday. And you want to guess the total, the over under?
44?
36.5. And I think I'm going to bet the under. I remember watching these preseason games last year. There's no offense.
I just think that Ben Johnson has to prove something and Caleb Williams has to prove something.
But I mean, what would he play? At most, a series?
No. At least two series.
In preseason game one?
Yeah, they only have three. It's funny because I'm saying Caleb should play where I don't want Tua to even touch a helmet. I think Tua should be in street clothes. Well, but I think Caleb needs to play.
In fairness, Caleb's got a brand new head coach. And he doesn't have the injury history that Tua has, so I get it.
Yeah. I want Tua to have on a hoodie and jeans.
At some point, Tua needs to start being treated like a veteran quarterback around the league. There's no question that, like, Justin Herbert's not going to get snaps in preseason, is he?
No. What does Patrick need to see? What does Josh Allen? Do you need to see, like, you need to see Lamar Jackson? No, you don't need to see those guys.
Is Tua's fifth season or sixth season?
Tua's going into his fifth, I believe, right? Sixth? Fifth? Because they signed him early, so I think it's six, maybe.
Yeah, I think it might be a sixth season. But yeah, like, at some point, you're a vet.
Huck, name the big dogs, the top 10 guys. Tua is one of those top 10 guys.
It's funny. I've got something for you later in today's show that's a wild exercise about all the quarterbacks in the NFL. I'll get to it later in today's show because it is a wild exercise.
We just left Philly, right?
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts. We sat and watched practice. We interviewed Lane Johnson. He'll be on the pivot coming up. I don't know if it's tomorrow or Tuesday. Tomorrow, Friday. No one even gets around him. If a linebacker blitzes and they're wide open, they fall on the ground and roll sideways. Everyone knows, do not touch Jalen Hurts. Don't touch him. Don't look at him. Don't smell him. Don't sniff him. That's how Tua should be treated. Honestly, the same way that I've seen these top quarterbacks get treated.
Well, I can't imagine Mike McDaniel putting him in any kind of situation to get hurt on their own practices. I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, you get to the joint practice on Friday. I was wondering this. I was going to ask Perk. You know, the Dolphins, I think, have this mantra. They want to prove to everyone they're a tough team. They're not the pushovers that, you know, this narrative has been created since the offseason, and you had people coming out saying, yeah, there was never any real dog in that team. And I wonder if a way to make a statement is Friday at joint practices with the Bears. If you want to make a statement to the league, to opponents, where, you know, you just kind of let things fly a little bit and say, yeah, we're not who you think we are, and we're going to do everything we can to bust that narrative.
They talked about that on NFL Live this morning where the narrative was the Dolphins are trying to change their identity of it, where all offseason they've been talking about. And like you said, like McDaniel wants to be tougher. They want to be a tougher team. And the guys were talking, I think Mike Tannenbaum was on there, talking about, like, can you change that in one offseason? Where I keep saying a zebra doesn't change its stripes. You can growl all you want to. You're still a zebra. You're not a lion. I'm looking at you. But that was one of the things that I think the whole league knows that the Dolphins are trying to do.
I wonder if that starts with Friday at joint practices. I wonder. That's the way you put everyone on notice, no?
Yeah, but who? Is it Sealer?
Like, I don't know.
This is the funniest thing. Like, I'm thinking about what player's going to go out there and slap the hell out of somebody. Minka's a quiet guy. Sealer got a little stuff to him. I don't know this young boy, Grant, they drafted. Maybe he got a little stink in him, but we know the offensive linemen. They're not mean dudes. Austin Jackson's pleasant.
Maybe Patrick Paul
is pleasant.
Is he pleasant?
He's pleasant. I've talked to him. He's a big, happy, big guy. Yeah. I don't know if they've acquired and drafted to be like the Eagles, the Lions. Like, we know the tough teams, the Ravens. I don't know if they have guys like those three teams I just named.
Very, very interesting. Today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, by the way. I would defy you to find a single person who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies. I'm not saying it might not be their favorite cookie, but I would defy you to find a person who says, yeah, I don't like chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
No. That person I don't think exists.
Yeah. If they need to go to prison.
I mean, that's a rare, right? Very rare when it comes to food. Because we had Jim Larinaga, he doesn't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which to me I thought would be an odd take. And then Appel doesn't eat peanut butter. And then, you know, you start finding other people aside from allergies. But I don't think anybody has a chocolate chip allergy. I guess you could have a chocolate allergy, but you don't hear about that very often. You hear about peanut allergies.
Yeah, they don't let you take peanuts into any elementary school nowadays.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Very rare can you say about a particular food item that everyone likes it.
You know, you're right. Like, it's chocolate chip cookies, snickerdoodles. Everyone likes those.
Not snickerdoodle. Nobody even knows what the snickerdoodle is. Ridiculous that thing has shelf life. Don't understand snickerdoodle.
Macaroni and cheese?
No, there are people who don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
So the chocolate chip is the
unanimous
food winner.
Is one of the few. I'd have to think about others, but one of the few where it's unanimity.
Yeah.
In liking it. I don't think you'll ever come across a person who says, oh, they've got chocolate chip cookies. No, I don't eat those. I don't like them.
Dang. You know what? I think you got some, Hawk. I disagree with the putt-putt and a lot of things you say, but I think this chocolate chip cookie thing, you got something going.
I had dinner a couple nights in Atlanta with some former soccer players, professional players, and they found out real quick that my opinion is fact, and it stunned them at the beginning. Then I explained to them, well, what you're noticing is indeed the case. I stand on the opinion that my opinion is fact. And if I don't agree with you, you happen to be factually incorrect.
I had a long conversation in the TSA line with someone that knew all your takes and wanted to tell me that you're not right. And I had to explain to him that he's right in his mind. So he's
well, that
right.
I just am. That I am. Doesn't need any caveat. That I am. Yeah. Let's do headlines. Dan Day is in and Jimmy is in. Solana's on vacation this week. We'll do headlines from Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. They just went full beast mode. Crowder, Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one.
Good news here in South Florida. Zach Sealer, the exact extent of his deal, 3-year extension worth $67.75 million with $44 million guaranteed, an average of $22.5 million annually.
Everyone who covers the Dolphins seemed to believe another unanimous thing that he deserved an extension you know, the player everyone aspires to be, is the kind of guy you want around your team. And if you are going to reward someone, he's the guy. And so he got it.
Yeah. And if you're trying to change the narrative of your team, you get the biggest, toughest, nastiest dude on your team and pay him.
And say, now go out there. Be nasty. As good as you were, you got to be better and nastier.
Yep. Yes.
Marlins, they got a sweep of the Yankees over the weekend. They also became the only major league team with an overall winning record against the Bronx Bombers at 25-24. The Astros are in town tonight, 6:40. Sandman on the mound.
Pretty wild what is going on in Little Havana. Pretty wild.
And isn't it wild what's going on in New York?
Like with the Yankees?
They're blowing games. It's crazy.
That Friday game was crazy.
Friday game was nuts.
Yeah. I would call Jazz Chisholm a friend, and I enjoyed him getting beat, which I didn't like.
So he just fell asleep at first. There was some wild stuff over the weekend. It was really the whole series sweep was great.
It was wild at Chase Stadium Saturday night. I was in the house as Inter Miami had to come from behind without Messi to win in a shootout 5-4 over Mexico's Necaxa. Messi, they're saying he has a muscle injury that is not serious. He'll be out indefinitely as the Herons, they face Pumas Wednesday at 7:30.
Full house over the weekend there?
Yeah. It was packed. It was crazy. And it wasn't even an MLS game. It was a Leagues Cup game, so... Fun stuff.
Yeah, I had just seen on Twitter. I didn't watch any of it, but I had seen on Twitter that Messi went down and that it was a hammy.
Yeah, well, it could be 8th minute he went down, and they're officially saying it's a muscle injury, which probably is a hammy.
Some scrasmies in there, Dan?
Was what?
It was a scrasmy or two in there?
There might have been. NHL insider Elliot.
I was at dinner with a couple of Premier League players, former players. And I mentioned to them on Saturday night, hey, did you see Messi went down with an injury today? And one of them, you know, huge Messi, all of them. I mean, like, you know, MJ, you know, he's got his British accent. And so I'm like, yeah, Messi went down. You know, what happened? And I said, it seems like a hamstring. And without missing a beat, he goes, but you have to run to pull a hamstring.
Hey, dudes. Messi's making triple their salary just jogging around.
He was telling me a stat that I can't remember what game, that Messi scored 3 goals. Forget when this was. And I guess they do it. They look at like total kilometers run for the game. And so he was telling me that Messi, 3 goals, had run 7.5 kilometers during the game. And he was telling me that, like, normally in a soccer match, football match, you'll run easily double digits and usually somewhere, you know, 14, 15, 16 kilometers. So the fact that he was able to notch 3 goals whilst only running 7 kilometers or so, he said, is a testament to A, how little he moves, but B, how effective he is when he decides to move.
You should have told him, get better, chap.
You sound like you're from London.
Real quick, talking about injuries, NHL insider Elliot Friedman says Matthew Tkachuk will most likely miss the start of the NHL season and a good chunk of the beginning of the year. He should return, though, by February when the Olympics begin in Italy.
Yeah, I saw that. You know what? Give these guys time off. They deserve it anyway. Oh. Just slow play them all.
Make the playoffs. We know what's going to happen.
Yep.
We got some weather. It is overcast with a chance of rain and temperatures in the low 90s here in South Florida.
Very, very hot. Very, very nice, Dan Day. Will Manso is going to join us in the next segment.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Is there any possibility that Billy the Marlin is a bird?
All right, our friend Will Manso is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Will Manso, sports anchor and reporter for Local 10 WPLG here in Miami. He was at Lone Depot Park as the Marlins swept the Yankees yesterday. What a series that was. Will, if I said to you on August 4th, we're going to be talking about the Marlins. I said this to Crowder when I opened the show. If I said we're talking Marlins August 4th, would you have guessed that we were talking about how they were on pace to have the worst record in baseball history and they just traded all their players? Or would you have guessed that we'd be talking about them the way we're about to, that they're a 500 team and just 7.5 games back of Philly for the division and just having swept the Yankees at home in front of full houses?
Yeah. Like,
which would you have chosen?
There's no way I would have chosen a selection B. There's just no way. And the funny thing is, I was at that point with the Marlins where sometimes, you know, when a team or franchise player, whatever, struggling, that you almost feel bad criticizing them. You just kind of let it be. I told myself this season, look, I'm going to give the Marlins the year to figure things out, young players, see what they have. I'm not going to just tell you the Marlins are terrible. They don't know what they're doing. Let's just see how it goes. And when they were 24 and 40, and they had gotten swept by the Rockies, and they were on pace, like you said, to be maybe the worst team in baseball, lose 100-plus games. I'm like, you know what? This is the way the season is going to go. Let them go through the growing pains. And here we are less than 2 months later talking about a wild card playoff chase, you know, like you said, just what, 7.5 out of the division, all these things, and sweeping the Yankees. It's one of the more incredible turnarounds that we've seen. And the Marlins have had plenty of them over the years. They've had some really surprising runs and teams, but this one is right up there with any of them.
And Will, one thing Hawk was getting on Solana and myself about was pretty much saying, like, Bendix is that dude. He figured out, like, there's names that are, like, Stowers right now. He just won the NL, what was it, Player of the Month?
Yeah, Player of the Month.
Player of the Month, yeah.
Yeah, and him, the Quan Trill's dealing, Bender's coming in late. Like, I know names that I didn't know before this season. Is Solana and myself giving Bendix more credit than he deserves? Because it seems like he's figured something out.
Well, I'll tell you what the thing he's done is you're always going to get judged, right, on trades and moves and what they become. And how often have we looked back on Marlins deals and said, oh, my God, what they got for Stanton. Oh, my God, what they got for Yelich. And then we look back and say, what a debacle that was. And then you look at, you know, normally trades, you have to wait a couple years. Here the Marlins are having impact players that they got last year's deadline. I mean, you got Connor Norby's hurt now. He was great the last 2 months. They still have big expectations for him, and he was coming on before he got hurt. Kyle Stowers went from a guy who he struck out, it seemed like, like every time he got up to the plate last year, to now being an all-star. And Clayton McCullough said it yesterday, guys. Like, I know there's a guy out west who's pretty darn good in Shohei Ohtani who does a lot of things. But Kyle Stowers has got to be in the MVP at least conversation. You know, I mean, at least the conversation of being one of the top guys. To think that that's a guy you acquired just last year is almost like a throw-in to a trade is unbelievable. So, and you go down the list, Augustine Ramirez. Everybody was worried about, hey, Jazz. And you give up Jazz and the energy he brings, the excitement, the player he can be when he's healthy. And then you see Augustine Ramirez right now, I think, is the National League Rookie of the Year. So in the instant setting, which is so hard to do, you know, assessing trades, Peter Bendix has been right on point. And you mentioned some of the free acquisitions and the additions of veterans and guys they've filled in. He's done a great job since he got here. Does that mean that, look, everything's going to work out great for the future? Who knows? But the early reports are he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think, because there's, 52 games left because there are 110 games in, do you think that this will end up having been a month or two blip? Or do you think that they can carry this all the way for the next 50-plus games and be in the midst of wild card or maybe even division contention?
You know, it's hard to play that kind of baseball, right? 600-plus baseball for 3 months, which it's going to take. I mean, there's still, when you look at the teams ahead of them, the wild card, the legit teams, San Diego, the Mets, you know, the Brewers or Dodgers, or, you know, those teams, whoever's the leftover, the Padres, those teams that are out there, those are teams that probably, I think on paper, it's safe to say are better. I mean, certainly are. But when you look at the talent, I think this is the one thing I got out of being there the last few weeks, and certainly yesterday, there were a lot of old-time Marlins there and people that worked in the organization, and it was cool to see a lot of people. And the one theme that they all told me about this team is they see talent. This isn't the pandemic team that got in the shortened season. You know, those guys played hard and made it fun, but you know that team, you didn't see that potential. This isn't even the team a few years ago that surprised with Skip as the manager of the year and that, you know, made that run to the playoffs. There seems to be, especially Stowers and Ramirez, there seems to be real legitimate star talent potential. I think they're missing one bat, and again, that's okay to say for a team that
Matt Mervis,
Matt Mervis, no, listen, he's raking it. Maybe he comes back.
I know. You don't got to tell me.
He's playing against middle schoolers, Will.
He is not. This dude is the Barry Bonds of Jacksonville.
Yeah, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with being the Barry Bonds of Jacksonville. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I think, for real.
So, long story short, guys, there's talent there. There's talent there. So, can they keep this going? Sure, especially with the pitching that they have. Is it likely they'll keep playing 600 baseball? I mean, that's going to be a tough ask. There's going to be some probable bumps along the way. But if one of those teams I mentioned slips, you know, starts slumping, under 500, slumps down the stretch, and the Marlins can play good baseball, they at least can make August, September very interesting down the stretch, which is, again, go back 2 months ago, we would have never imagined.
And should they have done more? To that point, well, we didn't think they'd be third. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't know what they have, and then they see what they have. Should they have done more in this trade deadline to, like you said, to add another bat or get some more something in the bullpen? Just, like, we're good now. Let's really be good.
See, normally I would say yes, but in this team, I didn't think so because I think you ride with what you have because so much of what you have now is based on your future. This is, I go back to the team a couple of years ago or when they acquired the Jake Burgers and guys like that, veterans. This team is based on youth. The guys that you have available now, right, are your present and future. So any kind of trade that would bring on somebody now, number one is I didn't see any trade out there that would make them that much better. You know, like I didn't see any big bat out there that they could have gotten. You know, you look at Suarez who got traded to the Mariners. They weren't going to get him. They weren't going to give up the farm system, 3-4 key guys to get him. That's not the plan. The plan is still continue to build young talent. To me, you get that experience, Channing. You get those guys, those young players playing now in a playoff race, the excitement, the packed house, all those things. To me, that's more valuable than trying to give up those guys to get a veteran player who may only be here a year with the thoughts of possibly making a playoff push. I think they handled the deadline well. I love that they didn't trade Sandy. I love that they didn't trade Edward Cabrera. Make a run with this team, and you've got all offseason the next year to potentially move any of these guys if you want to build towards something else.
You want to add that bat. I mean, you just make a phone Mervis. Call to Jacksonville. Mervis yes. can be here in an hour on a Friday.
Never
jet.
Nervous Mervis. He's ready.
Never nervous Mervis. That's my guy.
I'll go drive and pick him up.
I'll go get him right now. I'll bail on the rest of the show. You need me to go get Matt Mervis right now? I will drive to Jacksonville right now. I'll pick up Fred Taylor. He'll know the route, and we'll go get him. What, you happy that the Dolphins gave Zach Seeler the extension?
Yeah. First of all, he's such a great guy, right? You guys saw the press conference today. We had Casey there, Casey Hintz there for the press conference, and she was telling us, oh my God, this kid is so cute, and Zach is so, he's such a humble guy. And it's great when you have the first round pick that you hit on in the draft and he becomes a star player, and that's awesome. But when you have a guy like Zach that, has no expectations from anybody on the outside coming into the league, becomes one of the best defensive tackles in the league, and now gets paid like it, it's a great story for a great guy, and those are the kind of guys you want in your team. Leaders like that, put the work in, to put the effort in to get what they and what I love about Zach is he got his money, that's great, he deserves it. You're going to see no slowdown from that guy. He's going to keep going. So yeah, I was happy they did it. He's a core piece for their defense. And look, let's face it, guys, with all the issues the Dolphins are having at corner and all the question marks, they're going to live and die by that pass rush, by those guys on the front. And they certainly have talent there with Bradley Chubb coming back and Jalen hopefully stays healthy. Drafting Kenneth Grant, having Sealer, that's the bread and butter of the defense, and he's the main piece of that defense.
And, well, to that point, well, the Dolphin talk today on NFL Live was like changing their identity. Because people, like, I don't know, soft or gentle or graceful, yeah, whatever, that track me type team. Like, a guy like Sealer, he's the one that embodies that. Like, do you think, have you talked to people, do you see any identity change? Like, them running sprints after practice, will I be honest with you, that's just conditioning. That's not identity.
Yeah, and Jenny, you know this better than I think anybody, having been around it. You've been to all, you went as a player, you played through all kinds of identities and cultures, and it's funny how we label it certain ways, right? And the bottom line is you're always judged by wins and losses. You know what I mean? And it's like there have been plenty of teams that have won a lot of games, and certainly the last 25 years of covering the Dolphins, there have been teams that have been good that you could say are softer than others, or tough teams, or fast teams, or it doesn't. There's no real formula or magic button Mike McDaniel can press. The bottom line is their offense has to be good. Tua has to be healthy. They have to run the football. Tyreek has to beat Tyreek again. The defense has to find pieces. All that comes together. And guys, if they're 10-5 after 15 games and in a playoff push and for the division or for wild card, nobody's going to be having a culture or identity conversation at that point. It's just because of what happened last year, we're all kind of stuck thinking, okay, is that what's wrong with this team? But I don't think that's at all the issue right now. I think they just got to find a way with these pieces to come together. And again, having Sealer happy and having him being the center of that defense is a big part of it.
And Will, I tell people all the time when they talk about this same topic, oh, wait, we had some bad, nasty, beer-drinking, crazy linemen that Wildcat year. Like, we were a very tough team. And then we ran into the Baltimore Ravens, who were just a little tougher than us.
Isn't that funny?
You saw what happened in the play in the wild card game. So I like the identity change, but like you're saying, you have to go out here and win. And the AFC is loaded with Kansas City. I think the Chargers will be better. I think the Ravens are going to be right there. The Bills are going to win the division. Like, I try to explain to people, New England, everybody's praising Drake May and Stephon Diggs right now. That AFC is, AFC is about to be hell.
Yeah, and that's the problem too. You had Denver too. Knicks looked good last year. I mean, who knows what you're going to have with the Chargers and Herbert. That's a tough AFC. And for the Dolphins, this is a really big year for Mike McDaniel, guys. I'm sure you guys have talked about it plenty. Whatever happened last year, they've got to find a way to get back to that playoff contender-type team. But it starts with Tua, starts with his health, continues into the defense, and we'll see. I mean, I'm excited for the season, but I'm with you, though. This whole identity culture thing, start winning some games, and we're not having this conversation.
You think anybody plays on Sunday, preseason game one?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm trying to think what's been Mike McDaniel's MO on this. Like, has he been the kind of guy that plays guys? I'm sure a couple of guys will play, but I don't. The whole three preseason game thing kind of changes the way you handle it, right? But I think these joint practices where you really get your work in, right? That's where the guys seeing another team playing like that, I think that's where you get the benefit, and maybe some of the guys play a little bit. But look, the way bodies are flying and guys are getting hurt left and right, just keep everybody healthy for the next month or so and get to the regular season.
And Will, why would Tua play? Doesn't Tua need to start being treated like I know what Lamar Jackson got. I know the same thing we just talked about. I know what these guys have. Shouldn't Tua start being treated like that? Because he is that if he's healthy.
100%. The thing with the quarterback position, especially Tua, who's been in this system now for years, he's been your guy. He knows Mike McDaniel's system well. Like, what is there's not a real benefit. Sure, if you throw him out there a series just for rhythm, that's fine. But they do plenty of that in practice. You know what you're getting when Tua's healthy. Like, there's no real, for all the Tua discussions that Dolphins fans have and NFL people have, we know who he is. When he's healthy, he's excellent. He's officially, he's accurate. He's a top tier, top 15 or whatever you want to call it, quarterback. So keep keep him healthy and get him into the season, because any snaps or work he gets in the preseason isn't going to be make or break as to what you're going to get from him during the regular season.
Hey, did you go see David Lee Roth at Hard Rock Live last week?
I saw your clips, and I was afraid. I'm sorry that I didn't go. Was it that bad, Hawk? I didn't see your review. I just saw two clips.
I can't verbalize how bad it was. I can't do it justice. I couldn't believe what I was watching. My wife and I, like, for observational interests, it was delightful.
Did you sense the crowd felt that way? Was there like, like anything like that? Like, did they sense it?
Yeah.
Or were
the crowd was sparse. First of all, they had the third deck was covered, so there was no one up there. The second deck and the main body was sparse. Oof. And yeah, I think a number of people may have felt the way we felt, as evidenced by the crowd of us leaving early. Lori and I weren't the only two people walking out early.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But you're like the only guy. I was thinking as I watch him, like, you know, Will could appreciate this in the way that I'm appreciating this.
May have stayed till the end just for the sheer terribleness of it. You know, just almost like, yeah, it's like you can't step away. Like, I really want to take this in how bad it is. I may have stayed.
He's just got no voice.
Go see Billy Idol. I know.
I made a mistake. I should have seen Billy Idol.
Why don't the singers understand, like an athlete, when it's time to hang it up? They just keep touring.
Because someone offers you some money. Somebody gives you money, you sound good enough. Yeah. we think you sound good enough. The thing with David Lee Roth is he kind of knows that he can't sing. So he's got these 4 or 5 backup singers that really sing all the lyrics. But then David Lee Roth doesn't play any instruments. So he doesn't have anything to do up there.
And so it becomes more apparent that he can't do anything.
Correct. He can't kick his legs, you know, in spandex like he did in the 80s. So he has, I'm not joking, and again, he's 70 years old. But, you know, in rock star years, he's 112 by how hard he lived. But he walks like Joe Biden. But he's dressed in leather pants.
Oh, he's got the tight leather pants on, yeah.
Yes, and he's all tatted up now. Like, he just got all this ink done. And he doesn't play an instrument. And he can't, you know, jump and do splits on stage anymore. There was a 2-song period where he kept grabbing a megaphone. You know those electric megaphones? Like, who's Lean on Me? Joe Clark would talk through, you know. The enemy is here. He would pick up this megaphone, and you know how it always had a siren button on it?
He'd hit the siren?
He'd walk around stage.
Oh, my God.
That was like him playing an instrument. And Lori and I are hysterically laughing. He keeps going and picking up this megaphone to play the siren.
Seemed like you saved a couple hundred, Will.
You for sure. It was more the time than the money.
I know you've seen the Frankie Valli clips, haven't you? Where they throw him out there. That's what I'm picturing right now. Except Frankie Valli's like 100 years old. That's a little different.
Correct.
But still.
So Frankie Valli is catatonic. Yes. David Lee Roth is not catatonic, but he just can't sing. Frankie Valli, they use a backup track, first of all. So he just mouths it, and half the time he doesn't even know that he's on.
He's weekend at Bernie's.
He really is.
David Lee Roth can still get around. He doesn't, I don't know. It was just, and again, he's responsible for so much of the great music that I love from the 80s.
You got me going on YouTube now to look up David Lee Roth Kurt concert clips. Now I want to watch.
You got to watch. Yeah, just make sure they're from 2025. That was the first show on the tour. He did that one performance in California.
Here he goes, David Lee Roth, 3 days ago, Danced the Night Away, Hollywood, Florida.
That happened to be the only song that I thought they nailed it. That was the one song that I thought they nailed it because the backup singer's
actually
harmonized.
He did tat up. I didn't notice because I think I saw him with the jacket on. The jacket off, he's got sleeves and stuff. He's got a lot of...
Yeah, he's got sleeves all of a sudden, yeah. The guy's going through a midlife crisis, except it's not midlife.
It's not midlife. This is midlife. I guess it's midlife for a rocker. They live till they're 150.
He missed his midlife crisis by about 40 years, but it was something. Hey, real quick, broadcast-wise, Will, because I was texting with Vic Bermudez when I introduced you, and I said WPLG. Vic texted me, and he said, there is no more WPLG. And I said, yeah, sure they are. They're just an independent station now. And so what is the deal with local?
Yeah,
go ahead. Give everybody how they can watch when the new local newscasts are, all the
yeah,
info.
I get that. Long story short, I get that a lot because I think people think that we're like a different channel, like we're not Channel 10 anymore. It's the same channel. The only difference is if you watch ABC programming, Good Morning America, you know, David Muir, or whatever ABC show's on, you have to go somewhere else because we're not an ABC affiliate. But we're still Local 10. We're still WPLG. We still air the same news, 4 o'clock news, 3 o'clock news, 5, 6. The difference now, we added a 9 and 10 o'clock news. So we have news from 9 to 11:30. So again, long story short, if you watch us because of ABC programming, then you got to watch something else. You have to watch ABC programming. But to watch our news at the same time, same people, same talent, same things, it's all the same thing. We added a Saturday night and Sunday night sports show at 9:30. So we're still going to be the same thing. It's just we're not an ABC affiliate. That's the easiest way to put it.
A lot more local news, a lot more local.
Yeah, a lot more. Like today, for instance, Casey's live at the Marlins. I'm here in studio. Yesterday, I was live at the Marlins. We had people at Dolphins. Like, we have more resources to cover local stuff, which is fun. But again, if you watched us for ABC, then that's a different audience that we have to find again, right? Because those people that are love ABC are going to find ABC somewhere else.
ABC. What do you have, designing women
I'm on that kind of wavelength. To me, I watch local TV for local news and sports. That's it. Other than that, I'm not really watching the shows and things like that. I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last time I watched a network show, but that's just me. Maybe I'm in the minority, but usually it's, you know, streaming, things like that.
Yeah, I don't think you guys will miss a beat. All right, so it's still Local 10, and you get to
correct.
See they're working Will so hard now, he's going to look like David Lee Roth.
I'm going to get a sleeve and some leather pants, and that's how I'm going to show up at the Dolphins opener.
Casey's going to go, let's go to Will in the studio. Will's going to hold up a megaphone.
Will, please get a tattoo sleeve. That would make my day.
I'm gonna put both your faces on. I was gonna do a sleeve of the Hawk and Crowder show, just right down my arm.
Will Manso from Local 10 WPLG.
Correct.
You can watch him almost 24 hours a day.
Pretty much. I'm jumping from here to the set at this
him,
point.
Casey, and Clay. Right. That's the sports department.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And Dookie Lang, of course.
And Dookie. Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. Thank you, Will.
Anytime.
There you go. Will Manso, always an enjoyable conversation with him.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
I love Zephyr Hills.
There is no Zephyr Hills. It's Zephyr Hills. We've been over this.